Hello, WGLZ listeners. You are listening to 91.5 West Liberty, where we are passionately vocal. My name is Paul, and if you are a regular listener of this station, you would know that I had my last regularly scheduled program this past Monday at 2 o'clock. Well, I figured now is a good time for my last irregularly scheduled program. When I had my show, I normally talked about movies and news over the past semester when I had the show. However, I never really got the opportunity to discuss one of my other major interests, which is science and astronomy. I wouldn't have this passion if it were not for my mother, who is a middle school science teacher at Wheeling Middle School. Since we just had Thanksgiving and with the holiday season in full swing, I thought I would bring her into the studio to discuss one of the fascinating discoveries of modern science, which she is on the cutting edge of. So please welcome Debbie McKay to the studio. Debbie, thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so when I say one of the most fascinating discoveries, I'm talking, of course, about pulsars. So to those that may not know, what is a pulsar, and when were they first really discovered?
They were first discovered in 1967 by a woman named Jocelyn Bell Burnell, and they are a neutron star that is light years away, which means trillions of miles away, that are very, very dense. In fact, one teaspoon of them would weigh about 1 billion tons. And they spin very rapidly. They can spin up to 700 times per second. And they also have been compared to a lighthouse effect. As they spin, they shoot out beams of light at regular intervals, and they also have very strong magnetic waves coming out of them and gravitational waves.
So how exactly were they first discovered if we likely couldn't see those with our naked eye or with a light wave telescope?
Right. They haven't been able to see them with optical telescopes, but with radio telescopes, it is a big satellite dish that collects the waves from space and then shoots it into a transmitter that then can put it out onto graph paper. And in 1967, there was a grad student that had built her own radio telescope, and she started noticing these pulses that were coming in at regular intervals, and she was showing her instructor these. And, you know, a lot of people didn't believe her at first. They thought, oh, that's nothing. But she said, no, it has to be something because it's so regular. And in fact, they called them, they called the first one LGM, standing for Little Green Men, thinking perhaps this was some communication. But she stuck with her studies, and just recently she was given the breakthrough prize in physics for her work with this this new discovery, and she has donated all of the money to people in science that perhaps would never get a chance to study.
So what exactly is the importance of pulsars in scientific research?
Well, they do help scientists find gravitational waves of nearby objects, and there's the thought that if we ever do travel that far in space, that they can be like beacons of light for space travel in the future.
Oh, so it could almost help map out areas of the sky.
Exactly.
Oh, that's fascinating. How did you first get involved in pulsar research?
As a teacher, I am offered various opportunities to apply for in the summer to further my education. And I saw this opportunity that I could spend a week at the Green Bank Observatory here in West Virginia. It's about 4 miles from Wheeling. And to bring
4 hours.
About 4 hours.
Not 4 miles.
Oh, I said, yeah, 4 hours from Wheeling. As long as I brought a few students to do the research with us. And we would be working with world-famous scientists from all over the world at the famous Green Bank Observatory, which a lot of people don't realize what a special place that is here in our state. It is the world's largest rotating radio telescope. It hasn't been working until about the year 2000. It took about 10 years to build. There are other radio telescopes throughout the world, but this one is a rotating telescope, and that's of great significance. So I applied for it and got accepted, and it was the most amazing experience of my teaching career. What was interesting, it's in a beautiful part of the state, surrounded by mountains, so that there's very little radio frequency interference, and there is no cell phone usage while you're there. So that was an interesting feel.
No cell phone usage for the purpose of not disrupting the research, right?
Yes.
Okay.
For not disrupting any data that is collected from the telescope.
Oh, wow. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like back when at the start of the 20th century, it was very much focused on, or space discoveries were based on optical telescopes.
Yes.
It seems to me that everything they're building now is based off of radio telescopes.
I think nowadays, because it can reach farther distances. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me that the waves can travel trillions of miles. So basically we're collecting older data, so to speak,
right,
by the time it gets to us, but that it can collect that much data and be analyzed.
Oh, wow, that is really fascinating. All right, we are going to real quickly go to a quick break of music to break this up a little bit. When we return, we're going to be talking a little bit more about pulsars, and I'm going to be talking with my guest, my mother, Debbie McKay, about a national conference that she was recently invited to be a part of. So please stay with us here on 91.5 WGLZ, where we are passionately vocal. Welcome back to 91.5 WGLZ West Liberty. If you are just now joining us, I'm Paul, and in the studio I have a leading scientist in pulsar research and also my mother, Deborah McKay. We've been discussing pulsars, which, if you did not hear the first half, essentially pulsars are very fast spinning neutron stars that create magnetic pulses and waves through our solar system and through the universe as a whole. So, Debbie, what has been the most surprising thing you've learned since you first started studying pulsars?
Besides the existence of the pulsars themselves, what I learned from this, I'm very near the end of my teaching career, and I just thought, well, why not learn something new? And it has been just the most fascinating everything about it. The students I have been so motivated and so excited about this. And we were also given the opportunity that if we did our own research and were accepted, we could go to the American Astronomical Society annual conference in Hawaii, and we did get accepted. And so in about a month, beginning of January, we will be going to Honolulu and spending 5 days at a national conference and presenting what we have found.
Is there anything else like you could tell me about the national conference you're going to? Like, do you know what all it entails?
There'll be exhibits from scientists. There'll be different types of telescopes to see. There'll be workshops that they'll be teaching us things. My students will be displaying their research and really just getting to collaborate with other people from around the globe.
Now, with the conference being in Honolulu, Hawaii, what are you most excited for with the conference?
Sunshine.
Yeah.
I would love to go snorkeling. Just, you know, to see some volcanoes, possibly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that'll be nice to be on a tropical island in the middle of January.
It'll be wonderful.
Okay, and I guess finally, my final question for you. As a woman of science yourself, why do you think it's important for women like your two students that are going with you, why do you think it's important for women to get involved in scientific fields, and what advice would you offer any women hoping to have a career in science?
Well, I truly believe that men and women are equally intelligent. Sometimes it seems that women have to work a little harder to prove themselves, to be believed. In fact, Jocelyn Bell Burnell found this, and some of the scientists that I worked with at Greenbank, they said that is still, even in this day, that's one of the obstacles that they don't want to believe a woman as readily, but then it does happen. And, you know, I feel that we're both equal, and I just feel that everybody should go ahead and pursue their dreams.
And is there any little bits of advice you could offer to women in that are pursuing scientific careers?
I would say do a lot of math, read up as much as you can, form a network with friends, and take every opportunity you can get.
Okay, well, thank you very much. All right, that is going to conclude our interview here. This is also going to be the last time I will be on the radio this semester. I want to thank you all for listening to this. This has been, I've had a great time doing this, and I've had a great time interviewing my guests. Have a happy holidays, and once again, thank you for listening to 91.5 WGLZ, where we are passionately